Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. Great morning to you. It is a wonderful Wednesday, July 15th, 2015. You have tuned into Couch Conversations. This show is an outreach of Blessed and Know It Ministries, virtual ministry for virtually everybody. Always available to you via our website, BakiMinistries.wix.com/Baki. Check us out on social media, Facebook, Google+, Vine, Instagram. We're across the world wide web, reminding you that your life is worth living and living out loud. I'm your host, Rev J, and I am excited that you're tuned in because, yes, it is a wonderful Wednesday. Yes, we woke up this morning, we have purpose, and we have desire, and we have dreams that we are going to accomplish today, okay? Okay. Now, if you notice, lately we kind of switched things up a bit. We're not just focused so much on the individual. We have a family focus. For the next couple of weeks, that's where we're going to stay, on the family, because we believe that the family is the backbone of the community, the neighborhood, and the region that you're in. And so in order for there to be lasting change in individuals, there's going to have to be some changes in our families. So we're going to make sure that we offer you as many tools that we possibly can to make sure that your family keeps trucking along and is a productive unit, and that the way that the issues come at you, you still have tools and options to deal with them. You're not frustrated and defeated. Okay? All right. So yesterday we started this series on the blended family. When you have kids and he has kids, or you have kids and she has kids, or you've got a kid and he doesn't have a kid, and y'all bring all that together, and then sometimes you get your auntie and niece's cousin them kid, and you bring the kids all together, and you're expecting everything to work really good, like a fresh morning smoothie. Just throw it in the blender, add a little liquid, and stir. Don't. But anybody who has tried to make that work instantly and overnight has found that there are difficulties, there are obstacles, and then there are opportunities. And the opportunities usually present themselves in a form of hardships. And it's not as easy as it looks on TV. And there are emotional moments where you're just like, what have I done now? But you can get through it. You are empowered. You are the one who can help make the transition easier. I understand many of the difficulties. I've blended a family. I've been part of blended families. I get a lot of the problems, and so I want to make sure that, you know, we have every opportunity to discuss some of the opportunities that disguise themselves as hardships and difficulties. And so we talked yesterday about the steps to blending a family, and no one is textbook. Just because it worked for Dr. So-and-so and Mr. So-and-so and the neighbor across the street does not mean it'll work the same way for you. It can definitely work if you work it, but it's going to take a lot to make it successful. So if we're blending the family from the area of marriage, if it's a marriage issue, your kids, his kids, you guys come together and that's our kids, but you still have other outlying additions to the family, like other parents to deal with. One of the main things that you need, if this is a marriage that's coming together with two different sets of children, is you need to make sure that relationship that you're bringing together is solid. These kids are looking for security. They're looking for a soft place to land. They've got 700 million things coming at them every day, at school, in the public, through social media, on their phones. They need a safe place. And if you're constantly having arguments and issues and additional drama within your relationship, that only hurts the blending of the family. That only hurts them. That only hurts you. So before we start to blend and mix, it's kind of like when you're making a cake, get all your ingredients ready before you turn the oven on and before you start putting stuff in a bowl, because sometimes there is no turning back. When it comes to trust, or when it comes to respect, when it comes to those things, if there is a solid relationship that leads to a solid marriage, that will help the kids and everyone else adjust, because now they have a dependable place and they have a dependable home, and now it's a more dependable situation. And if there is a lot of tension, constantly have to reassure verbally and through actions that, you know what, even though mommy and daddy are arguing, or your mom and your step, if that's what you call them, are arguing, it does not mean that we do not love you. It does not mean that we will not work on ourselves to make sure you're okay. It does not mean constantly reassure the children, because it's been enough change and transition in their lives, and we expect these little people to be able to do the things that we do, just keep life trucking along. And for them, they can emotionally stop, shut down, just quit, because they can't handle it. And the truth is, we can't handle it either, but we actually act like we do until we have all these midlife crises. But that's a whole other issue and a whole other show. But we're asking these children who have been transplanted from one situation to another situation to another situation, and they're just like, I just need a safe place. I really want, like, in their mind, like, I really want this to be the safe place. But kids can read people and situations. And sometimes before you start the mixing process, you might want to give it a couple of trial runs to see how the personalities work together, to see how the unit would work together. Go on some family outings before everything is solidified and see the dynamics and see how this personality meshes with that personality or does not mesh. And see, okay, these are the potential things that we're going to have to deal with. So as adults, I'm just observing the relationship. Now I'm going to step back, and I'm going to have a conversation with my soon-to-be spouse or spouse, if you're already there, and create a plan or action plan so that we can make sure things start flowing a little smoother when the actual transition does happen. You see what I'm saying? Like, if you give kids time frames to prepare, like in 6 months we're getting married, we need you guys. This is where we are. This is how it's going to go. This is your role in that. And as long as everyone has a role and they feel a part of it, it can help a lot as well. Because you, as the adult, you're the head. And you're making decisions. But if you're not including the people who the decisions are directly going to affect or affect, then there's probably going to be some rebellion to that. If the child does not feel secure already with you, then you're adding someone else who's going to take your time. Where does your child feel, like, what would your child feel about that? Oh, mommy doesn't care, mommy doesn't love me, mommy's not going to give me my time, now I'm going to start acting out so I can get your time, get your attention, I'm going to regress, I'm going to, all these other things that could happen, oh, she don't have time for me, I don't have time for her either, so I'm going to go out with such and such and do such and such and become such and such, and I'm going to get my attention somewhere. And with the plethora of influences our children have today, when they say they're going to get their attention somewhere, that's exactly what they mean, because there's someone always willing to give your child attention negative that you will not give them because you are too preoccupied trying to create a perfect family, or you're too preoccupied with wedding planning, you're too preoccupied thinking of this picture-perfect marriage. It's not going to be picture-perfect. There's no perfection to any family, and if it is, it's a facade. It's a lie. Don't believe it. Because every family is just riding the waves of those issues until the peace comes. Okay? All right. So the next step in making this solid blended family more successful is going to be to be civil. It's not. There will be uprisings. There will be anarchy at certain points in time. But as you set the rules for your house and your relationships, like, look, we're just going to be civil. Today is Civil Saturday. You're grumpy, I'm grumpy. It's a day all we can get together. Let's just be civil. Because there will be times when, especially if you have teenagers, they'll do the whole ignoring you. And then you'll have people who will try to purposely hurt each other, because that's what families do. Then you have some people who want to completely withdraw. Like, I'm going to go live with the other parent because I'm not getting enough attention here, and I'm just not. And sometimes you might have to be like, huh, what am I doing that would make my child feel some sort of way? And if the child doesn't feel like there's enough room for them and it's a positive situation at the other parent's house, it may make your relationship better to temporarily increase or to kind of let go and switch the custodial roles. You may have to step back and become the part-time and I see you on Wednesday and every other Saturday parent compared to the full-time I have you Monday through Friday and sometimes other parents can see you. It may help your relationship. They may get more attention. They may get more one-on-one attention, positive attention at the other parent's house. So at the end of the day, because you created this child, you need to be forward-thinking of what is best for the child. And just because your new relationship is really great for you may not be really great for that child. All relationships are respectful. So now we've passed being civil. We've moved on to respect. Respect for me is something that's earned. Do not come into the new situation and start demanding stuff straight out the gate. It will not work. It will actually tear stuff apart. I remember being really young, and my mom got married, and I was a flower girl in the wedding, and things were like, oh, this is cute, this is cute. Until the day my stepdad was like, oh, you're going to call me dad. And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm kind of strong-willed, and at that time, so was he. And so, like, he really tried to corporal punish me for not calling him dad. And for me, that doesn't work. you can try to be something into me to this day. It does not work. What you will do is you will learn who I am and how I work. And if you start acting like a father, guess what? I have no problem referencing you in that way. But for you to come in, like, week one, be like, oh, she's going to respect me. I'm her dad. This is a dad thing. I promise you, as a person who's been there, it does not work. I got a few beatings and side eyes and a whole bunch of stuff for not saying daddy to some man who just came into my life when I wasn't even calling my biological father daddy at that time. So come on. You have to earn the respect. Now, a couple of years later, you know, I'm about 7 or 8, and he was doing the things that fathers do, and we're in public, and other people are like, oh, look at your daughter, or, oh, your dad's great. I'm like, yeah, that is my dad. Okay, we've taken the time to build the relationship, and there wasn't so much pressure, again, for him trying to beat that into me, physically and mentally, beat that into me. And so, therefore, we moved forward, and we were able to progress. And I can still say to this day, yes, that's my dad right there, and that's my other dad, and that's my other dad. Yeah. So I've been very fortunate that I've gotten steps or additional fathers in my life that have worked on the relationship aspect. So, again, respect is something that, yeah, you want it to be given. You respect that person. As an adult, I understand all that. But to come in and to try to take something you haven't earned, you're only asking for chaos and drama and hurt feelings. And some kids don't bounce back, and some kids will not, and some kids will just be like, and you'll just cause more havoc in your home than is necessary. So therefore, the same amount of energy and enthusiasm that you spend dating that person that you're married to or you're blending with, that's the same amount of energy you need to put in, not necessarily time, but energy you need to put in getting to know those kids or making sure that there are opportunities for them to get to know you. Then the respect will grow. Then if there needs to be a title attached, then, you know, it'll flow easier. Also, not everyone's on the same level at the same time, like emotionally, physically. Different kids attach and grow at different rates. And so just because you have one child, it's like, yes, I'm getting a new dad, we're getting a new house, this is great. You may have another kid that's like, this is the worst thing ever. Oh, my gosh, why would you ever do this to me? And so you have to just have compassion for everyone's development. Like I said before, it's about the relationship. And so you have to, as the bio parent, you have to respect your child's feelings. You do. You have to be mindful of, oh, my gosh, this is really hurting my child because they see it this way. You also have to dispel the imagination of children because they can see, like, oh, my gosh, this is worse. Oh, my gosh, and the fairy's going to come. It's going to take you away. You're going to be the mean mommy. I've seen all the movies about stepmoms. You're going to be mean. I just can't see. Okay. Have I been mean to you before? I have not been overly mean to you. I do like order, and we are having family meetings and setting up house rules and all of those things. But, you know, just kind of have compassion and reassure the children of their role and your role and how you're not taking anyone else's place. You're just adding to the mix. Allow room for growth. So after the marriage and after the honeymoon phase comes the real storms. Some people may click better than others, like some groups may click better. And so it could be two stepsisters, if you choose to use that word, who are now best buddies, but no one's playing with the little boy because he's a boy and boys have cooties and yuck. Or whatever the case may be, they're going to grow at different rates together. what you want is you want them to grow together, and you want it to be a respectful union, and you want people to have compassion and to be civil. But when you notice something shifting or one person being alienated or kind of cliquish behavior, you want to address that and make sure everyone is aware of the other people's feelings and emotions and how this is really affecting them. And that's another reason why those family meetings are so, so important, because that gives everyone a chance to voice their concern. That gives everyone a chance to, you know, get some stuff off of their chest in a safe environment, because I know you're going to structure them in such a way that the rules are everyone has to be respected and things of that nature. And so, again, it's not going to be easy, but is it worth it? Is it worth taking in your sister's kids? Yes. I know you guys watched Bernie Mac show. Okay, maybe you didn't. But if you haven't, you might want to YouTube a couple episodes of Bernie Mac. His sitcom was where he took in his sister's kids and all the ups and downs and of that. You're not my dad. You're right, I'm not your daddy. And I think what he brought to the table was like, there's some serious realities that you have to face when you have the bio parent who's not, you know, at that place where they can really parent. And you're trying to step in and you're trying to make it work. And the kids just want their bio parent, because for them, they just want to be loved. They want to be appreciated. They want to be, and no matter what he bought them, at the end of the day, it still wasn't the same as having their biological parent want them. There are things that emotionally will just rip kids apart when you feel like your biological parent does not want you. And so custody changes and visitation changes and your address may change. And so as you're blending a family, keep all that in mind. Like, oh, my gosh, I never want to make it seem like your biological parent doesn't want you just because our relationship didn't work. And so these are the hard conversations that you have to have. And you have to say, like, especially if there's some criminal history with the biological parent, but, like, they're just not in a place right now where they can offer you the safety and security. Yes, they may love you. Yes, they may mean well, but they're not mentally or physically in that place. And you have to be very careful when you use those words about biological parents who are not there yet, because the children are attached to their biological parents. There are emotional and spiritual and umbilical cords that are still attached. And so when you say your biological mom is X, Y, and Z, the child hears, oh, my gosh, I'm going to be X, Y, and Z. And so let's say bio mom has a drug addiction, and then that's why you're a crackhead. That's why your mom is a crackhead. That's not good or beneficial. I understand you may be angry, upset. This may be a very heated conversation. The kid could have just said, I hate you, and all sorts of hurtfulness. But because they are a child, out of respect, you don't cross those boundaries and those lines. And it's not being civil to say it in a calm voice. It's being respectful to walk away from the conversation or to not engage with the child when they're that emotionally wound up. It is respectful of the relationship and the family to seek therapy, counseling, coaching, and additional supports that are needed. Because, again, this is not your morning smoothie. You can't just add protein and orange juice and frozen fruits and think it's going to work instantly overnight and be as wonderful as the commercial or the picture on the box. Doesn't work that way. There will be heated exchanges that have to be dealt with. There will be hurt feelings that have to be dealt with. There will be financial burdens that have to be thought of, because all of these things are coming at you. Is this really the best move to blend this family at this time? And, of course, these are wonderful conversations that you would love to have in advance, but sometimes life just happens. Somebody's in a car accident. They've got three kids. Somebody got a negative diagnosis. They have to have emergency surgery. People are staying in your house, and you say, oh, what happened? Life happens, and now you have additional keys and tools that you can help in the situation. Any and every time that you feel overwhelmed, just know that you're normal. This is normal. In this society where over 50% of marriages do not last, do not work, the first marriage, and then you got, what, 70% of second marriages that don't work, and some people are in their third, fourth, and fifth marriages that are not working. We have created this turmoil as a society, and we've accepted it, and we've not taken the time to heal and to mend, and we've dragged these children through it, and then we expect them to be productive members of society and not to make the mistakes of their parents when in actuality that's all we've taught them. And so you got third and fourth generations on third and fourth marriages, and no one's saying, whoa, 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 wait. You don't have to do it that way. Yeah, it seems like it would be a good thing, but here are the hardships. We're not taking time, you know, older generations, younger generations, to sit down and talk about the dynamics of why this happened and why that happened. And a lot of times people are like, well, do as I say, not as I do. That does not work. Tell me why you did it that way. Help me learn the lesson, see the lesson, and be respectful as possible, but tell the truth. We can't move forward if we're not being truthful about situations and be age-appropriately truthful. Do not sit there and tell 3 and 4 and 5 years, your mama's a crackhead, she can't keep you, you're living in my house, suck it up. What? What are you doing? Yes, that's the truth. But how could you say that differently? How could that go better? Get yourself a friend in a support group, a support system, so you can actually vent and say the stuff, the adult stuff that you want to say safely. Go ahead. Do all that. Get all that off you so when you're in front of the child, you are still the source of support and security and never-ending love. And you can't do that if you're not taking care of you. So that's why we spend 300-plus episodes making sure that individuals were okay. Now as we progress to families, making sure they're okay and they're better and they're equipped, you still have to find somewhere in all the chaos of life to take care of you, to make time to connect to each and every individual of the family, your spouse, your auntie, your uncle, whoever's living with you now, so everyone feels and knows inside and out, not just saying it, but feels it, that they're important and vital to that family. Who knows what blessings or what beauty can come from this situation that may start off tumultuous and tragic. You never know the impact that you can have on someone who's thrown into your life. And you'll never know as long as you stay in that selfish bubble of me, 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 and I. Yeah, it could go me, 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 and I, and the kids just suffer on their own. But that's exactly what they're doing. They're suffering. And a lot of our kids suffer in silence until that silence becomes violence, because violence is the language of the unheard. We don't stop to ask our children, how do you feel about this? And then allow them to be truthful, brutally truthful about the situation. We don't sit down and listen to their concerns. We don't sit down and try to understand how hard emotionally and physically this may be for them to accept these transitions that we adults are placing on them. And so, therefore, they grow up thinking, I've got to bury my emotions, I've got to put a smile on, I've got to have this quote-unquote church face at all times because we're a family, and I don't feel like I'm part of the family because I don't look like this one, I don't look like that one, my last name is different, and we're doing all of these things to our kids, and now we're suffering as a society from the repercussions of not talking and listening to our children. And so instead of having fathers and uncles in place in our homes and in our neighborhoods, we have to hire mentors and life coaches to come get the babies at 7 to 8 years old because the school system is failing. The education system failing, the judicial system is failing as a whole, as a corrective process, when if we had the people who would step up in the family to be the man or the woman that you need to be to handle some stuff that you need to handle or to at least deal with the child that you created in a positive and respectful way, we wouldn't have as many issues as we have. But because we have these issues, we need to make sure we are supported individually and collectively. And it's not going to happen just from a once-a-week meeting in whatever house of worship you have. It happens when ministry hits the streets. It happens when we come out of our comfort zone. It happens when we step up to the plate and face whatever life has thrown at us. It does not happen when we're hiding behind prescriptions. It does not happen when we're selling ourselves on the street corner. It does not happen just working a little 9-to-5 job, making minimum wage. It does not happen like that. It happens when we live our life loud to the best of our ability and become the people we were meant and designed to be, full of life, full of power, and full of you, whoever you are, whatever you're bringing to the table, show up every day. We don't have time for these labels, getting these quick fixes in the society anymore. Our families are falling apart because people are not stepping up to the plate. If you've got nephews and nieces and cousins and aunties and people who need you, then you need to be the person you need to be for that person. If you're a grandma, you need to start stepping in that role and start stepping out of the club. If you're a grandpa, you need to do what grandpas do. You need to give them that wisdom and knowledge. I don't care if they're not listening. I don't care what age they are. You need to be that because you've grown to this age where you have got to start being responsible and you've got to start being impactful in your family. You can't blend something that's rock hard. And that's another problem our children have. They become rock hard emotionally because look at all the stuff that we've asked them to deal with from day one. They never asked to be here. They never asked to be born. But yet here they are. And we see them as problems and we label them as Generation X and we just want to cast them to the side and let someone else deal with them. Someone else did not make them. Someone else did not create them. They are in your family, in your household for a reason and for such a time as this. And this is the time for you to step forth and be who you are, authentic to yourself and authentic to your family. And whatever other issues you have, deal with them as adults. Whatever other issues you have with your kids, tell them the truth, because the truth will heal. The truth will mend. But all this covering up and making up and trying to be something you're not, it does not work. Turn off the television. Get off the cell phones. Do what you have to do for the family's sake. Because as the family comes back together, the community will come back together. The neighborhoods will come back together. Society will have some sense of, wow, we can create a new norm. I find it disheartening, even looking at television. But to look at television and to see shows like Modern Family, this is being said to our children, this is the new norm. Look how much blending is going on. This is not what we grew up on. This is not Cosby. This is not Brady Bunch. This is your new Modern Family. And whether you agree with whatever or not, look at how many dynamics are in that situation. Look at everything that's going on and what they're dragging the kids through. And look at the issues that are not resolved 3 and 4 generations later. Yeah, it's a glimpse of what's modern, but just because it's modern doesn't make it right. And if that's the precept that our children are looking at, this is what a modern family should be, we're lost as a society, and it's time to be found. And we can be found individually, and we need to be found in our families. And at this moment right here, it is ever so important for you, the individual that's listening, you, to show up in your life, to start living your life out loud, to start taking risks, to start being available for your family. Now, I don't care if it's the extended family. I don't care if it's your auntie that no one talks to. I don't care if it's the toddler whose parents just stay in and out of jail. Be the consistent, positive person in that child, that person, that adult, that auntie's life. Show up and make a difference with your life. If you're alive, it's not too late. Whatever addiction you have, get the help for it and move forward. I understand that was your coping strategy. That's worked for you for years. But obviously it's not working because you're no better today than you were X amount of years ago. So get the help you need so we can all move together as a unit so that our society can improve. Be neighborly. Be friendly. Be happy with what you have. It could always be so worse, and it could change on a dime. And the little petty stuff that keeps tripping us up, and we see it as mountains, and it's really just an anthill. It's not that important. What's the big picture? What are we really leaving behind as a legacy? Start making major moves today that will make your tomorrow even better, that'll make memories that children and friends need to know that, hey, you are important, and I appreciate you, and I thank you for being a part of my life. I don't care if they acted like, all week. They need to hear that. Whatever blended family members in your family, they need to hear that they are important and they are loved. And we're not always going to get it right, but we always love each other through it all. Okay? All right, well, this has been another great episode of Couch Conversations, hosted by yours truly, Rev J. As always, may the God of peace rest, rule, and abide with you now, henceforth, and forevermore. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow, 7 a.m. on Thursday. Have a good one. Bye-bye.